Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Even though the world cannot see him or accept him, we know that our Lord was truly brought to life in the Spirit. It isn't fantasy, fiction, fake, or false. It isn't pretend, make-believe, a myth. It is not a hallucination, an optical illusion, or our imagination. It's not a dream or a mirage. Jesus tells us plainly in today's gospel, I live. Jesus Christ is really, truly alive. He is risen indeed. Because last weekend was Mother's Day and the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of our Blessed Mother at Fatima in Portugal, I didn't have the opportunity to talk about last week's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, and the ordination of 7 deacons in the early church. The first diaconate ordination in the history of the church. We learned last week that in the first diaconate ordination class, there was Saint Stephen, the first martyr, and also a deacon by the name of Philip, not to be confused with the apostle by that same name, Saint Philip. The Bible says that Deacon Philip was a great evangelizer, which simply means that Philip preached the evangelion, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is truly God and the Savior of the world, and that he is indeed really risen from the dead. In today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, Deacon Philip is given his first assignment to preach the gospel in Samaria. Samaria is the region just to the north of Judea in Jerusalem and to the south of Galilee. To get to Samaria from Jerusalem, you have to go down north. It's kind of confusing too, the way we think. But because Jerusalem is always located up on a hill on Mount Zion, from Jerusalem to Samaria, you go down north to Samaria. And you remember that the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along at all. They were like oil and vinegar. And so Deacon Philip's first assignment could prove to be a little bit challenging. But today's first reading tells us that Deacon Philip had great success in proclaiming Christ to the people of Samaria. The people paid attention to what was said by Philip. They didn't ignore him. Evil spirits or demons came out of many possessed people in Samaria. Paralyzed and crippled people were healed. And because of all of that, there was great joy in Samaria when they heard the gospel. Deacon Philip had great success in his first diaconal assignment. Now, you might have noticed that there was a part missing from today's first reading, from chapter 8. They left out verses 9 through 13, and they're very important. Verse 12 says that the people of Samaria believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and that both men and women were baptized. They were baptized by Deacon Philip. Then we pick up the reading as we did today with verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them the Pope himself St. Peter, and the beloved disciple of Jesus, St. John. And so the Pope and the beloved disciple go down north to Samaria, and what do? They lay hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. You can probably see how this is the biblical basis for the sacrament of confirmation. It's clear from this biblical text that Deacon Philip can baptize, but he can't confer the sacrament of confirmation. Notice that only those who share in the ministerial priesthood of Jesus, the bishops and the priests, Saints Peter and John, only they can administer the sacrament of confirmation. And the Acts of the Apostles is very clear. It always makes a distinction between baptism, which confers the Holy Spirit in an invisible way, and the laying on of hands, which confirms the Holy Spirit in a visible way. Only those who share in the priestly office can confer the full measure of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation. It's still true today, isn't it? Deacons can baptize, but only priests and bishops confer that sacrament of confirmation and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's clearly what the readings are about today. Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Spirit of truth, upon us through the hands of the apostles. And St. Peter, in today's second reading, says that Jesus was brought to life in the Spirit. So you can see the emphasis today on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I found something rather interesting in my Bible in the footnote to today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. My footnote in my Bible says this: Samaria's enthusiasm in this passage is the mere opposite of Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 53. And that's all it says. And I said, I wonder what Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 53 says. So, I went back and took a look. Do you know what it says? Jesus is going from Galilee to Jerusalem. He's going up south. Okay? He's going up south to Jerusalem, and he has to pass through Samaria. And Luke chapter 9 says that as he passed through Samaria, they would not welcome Jesus. They wouldn't welcome the Son of God. They weren't so open to Jesus as they were to Deacon Philip. They ignored Jesus. And that passage in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 53 says that when James and John saw this, they asked Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" And Jesus says, "Yeah, that's a great idea." Of course not. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that Jesus turned and rebuked James and John. And then they continued to another town and on their journey. Now, don't you think it's ironic that it's St. John who is sent by the church to Samaria to confer upon the Samaritans the Holy Spirit? Isn't that ironic? Once upon a time, St. John wanted to call down fire upon the Samaritans, the fire of destruction. But the Lord Jesus wanted St. John to call down upon the Samaritans the fire of the Holy Spirit. So St. John is getting his wish, but in just the opposite way that he expected. Jesus was going to call down fire upon the Samaritans, not the fire of destruction, but the fire of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew the Samaritans needed a little bit more time. Today's story in the Acts of the Apostles is maybe about 10 to 15 years after the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Jesus knew that the Samaritans needed a few years to make their hearts and minds receptive to the good news that he is God and Savior of the world. Jesus gives them time to repent and to believe the gospel. And isn't that beautiful that Jesus does that for us? He's giving us more time to repent before he calls down a destructive fire upon us. He really wants to send down the fire of the Holy Spirit. What kind of fire do you want to call down on other people? A destructive fire or the fire of the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't it be a little twist if God used us for those characters that we may want to call down the fire of destruction? Wouldn't it be great if the Lord used us instead to call down upon them the new life fire of the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, be patient with our brothers and sisters. Allow them time to convert and to be receptive to the gospel message. Our Lord so desires to call down upon all of us the fire of the Holy Spirit so that we can receive the Paraclete, the Spirit of truth, and truly have life in the Spirit.